Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. Anyway, my name is Ron. I'm the lead pastor here at Forest City North Church, and I am so thrilled that you're here this morning, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you a few things that have been going on inside of me. Before I jump into the message, the core of the message, I just want to say a couple comments to set up our conversation. I don't know if you've ever had as a family where you've maybe had to gather everyone around the kitchen table to kind of realign everything. Sometimes you have to do that with values, and sometimes you have to do that with the rules, and it's kind of like, remember kids to shut the lights off when you leave your room, or no, you're not allowed to have a 15-minute shower. You know, sometimes you got to bring your kids around the table or bring the family, whoever it is, around the table to realign. But sometimes you actually bring them around for different reasons. You bring them around to talk about something exciting happening. Guess what, kids? We're going to Disney. Guess what, kids? We're going... No, that's not the announcement. Just so... some of you are like leaped all the way ahead. It's like, no, we're not that spot yet. You bring them around. You say, this is where we're going as a family. And everyone gets really excited. And so this morning, we're kind of gathering around the table, our kitchen table as a church, and we're actually going to be talking about where we're going. Now, it's interesting, as I think about that, there's maybe someone in the room here that's maybe new. Maybe this is your first Sunday, and you're like, what have I gotten myself into? What's about this church? And I just want to say I'm so thrilled you're here, because you get to get a picture of who we are and where we're going as a church, and you can decide whether or not you want to stick around, which I hope you will. And for Facebook Live, same thing. Maybe you're watching online, and something inside of you maybe is going to click with where we're going, and you think, man, I'd really like to be part of that. So I hope that you as well on Facebook Live will enjoy these next few moments together. All right. So in order to look forward, as much as Dave and Ray said, we're not looking back, I have to look back for just a few moments. In September 2014, a faith community emerged in North London that would eventually call themselves Forest City North Church. When 2014 rolled around that fall, and this new community was a merge of two communities coming together, it's a bit of a long story that I can't get into right now, but there was this new community that emerged, and the moment when that happened, I realized that something special was happening, that something very unique was going on. I realized that there was this new emerging community that would eventually call themselves Forest City North Church, was going to rally around a vision. Rally around a vision about reaching people who are far from Jesus and helping them understand how they can have a relationship with Jesus, and that His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness can actually change their lives. It was a vision that I saw taking shape in many people's lives. And if you were around in the early days, you may have remembered that. It seems funny even saying the early days when we're only 3.5 years old as a church. But some of you may recall those early days. I have loved watching the vision take root in our community, in our church. I've watched individuals and families begin to catch a fire for what this vision can be like. See, when someone attaches themselves to a greater vision, things begin to happen. Movement begins to take shape. Things move forward. And when that begins to happen, people can say, I'm in, I'm on board. Or people can observe for periods of time and decide when they will step in. But I've seen countless numbers of individuals and families begin to step in. For example, I've seen families begin and individuals begin to organize their time around this vision. Time and energy has gone into building and investing in friendships and relationships with people outside of the church, people who are not yet understanding the grace and the love of Jesus. And what I love seeing is that people in our community that are calling this their church are beginning to bring people with them. In such a way that I think that every Sunday morning for me is a party. And so it's like, bring them to the party. I'm beginning to see that happen and take shape. I've also begun to see and take shape in our church as individuals and families that are beginning to rally resources and money around the vision. It's mind-blowing. That there is something contagious about this vision that we have as a church, And people are arranging their resources in a way to begin to honor God with their resources to support the vision and mission of this church. And it's been amazing to watch. Now, there's a few things that you need to be aware of that are sort of happening in the life of our church that maybe you don't see on a regular basis because, you know, we meet every 7 days in this space and it'd be easy to miss these things. But let me kind of bring you up to speed on a few things that are happening kind of underground, so to speak. There's a growing community of young adults that meet in my home every other Sunday night. And these young adults are beginning to emerge in leadership roles in the life of our church. You saw a bit of that today with Paige doing the announcement. She's part of the young adult community. We're beginning to see these young adults catch a fire for what it means to live on mission. It's a beautiful thing to watch. I get to be on the front seat of that, on the front row of that. We're beginning to see amazing things take shape sort of through this what's called City Impact Team. You may not be aware of this, but there is a team of people that weekly meet the needs and care and encouragement of people in the Northwest community in London here that are actually providing life-changing experiences, encounters with Jesus. We have a group of people that meet monthly on a street mission downtown that are providing food and care for people. It's this movement that's underground. It's beginning to take shape. Things are happening. Things are moving. You may not be aware of this, but it's very clear that our vision is about reaching people who are far from God, helping them understand who Jesus is, but we're also about connecting people, getting people into smaller communities. Because here's the thing, when a person begins to understand the necessity of relationship and community, faith begins to grow, especially when they take steps in that direction. Now, it's interesting. As I reflect on the connected community in the life of our church, there's a growing number of people that are moving towards that. And one of our pastors, Anthony, informs me we're about 80% of our community is connected in some way. You don't look too impressed with that. It's very impressive that 80%, yeah. Those of you I gave $20 to clap at that point, why aren't you clapping yet? So anyway, I believe it's about 80% of our community is connected in some capacity in the life of our church, through a serving team or through a home group. That is staggering because it raises the potential of people better understanding you, understanding what it means to live out the full potential of your faith in community. That, to me, is so exciting. This past January, as we continue to reflect a little bit, this past January, the very first Sunday of January, I gave a message called All In. Now, some of you who subscribe to our Four City North Weekly received an email from me. If you've not subscribed to the weekly, you need to. You can go on to myfcn.church and you can sign up for it. I sent you that talk this week so that you could prepare yourself for this morning. But in case you didn't listen to it or missed out on that talk, let me tell you what it was about. It was about a disciple of Jesus who did something that he never thought he would ever do. It was about a disciple named Peter that eventually would walk on water. Jesus would invite Peter out of his space of familiarity, out of his space of comfort, out of his space of convenience, and invite him to walk on water, and Peter did. Peter would take these steps of faith and take these steps of obedience. We talked about this idea of how to be all in with faith. I can remember very clearly praying days leading up to that, that you as a community would begin to understand and that the Spirit of God would ambush many of us in a way that would help us understand how to live that faith out, that all in faith. See, I was praying that you wouldn't just leave here that Sunday if you were here with us, just going, well, that was a nice talk. That was a really good reminder. Just so you know, I don't preach for reminding. I preach that transformation will happen. And so I surrendered that and I prayed, God, would you just please move and work in our lives as individuals? That morning, I was pretty transparent about my own all in. I talked about the importance of my own leadership and my own teaching and preaching on Sunday mornings. I talked about really diving in and leaning into what God was calling me to because I believe there's an urgency to the message that we carry. And I made a promise to you as a community that I would do everything I could to be all in and to lean in and call people to greater levels of commitment to Jesus. And that doesn't matter where you are in your faith journey. We've got people in our community that are exploring and people who don't even believe that there is a God. But yet, I call people to greater depths of movement towards finding answers to those questions. I preach to help you understand to greater depth of what your faith can become. And so we talked about all in, and I said that I would do my best to do that. And I have to tell you, it has been tough. There has been a stirring and a working in me that scares the life out of me. I kind of wish I didn't give the all-in talk. I kind of wish I didn't go public with what I needed to do, because it'd be so much easier just to keep this a secret. See, I realize that there's a greater call on our lives as a church. See, one of the things that strikes me about a church like ours that lives on vision and mission is that when we get it right, when we begin to comprehend what it is that the church actually is, when we begin to dig down deep into the hope of what God is doing through his church, you begin to see and you begin to realize that the church is a group of Jesus followers who are sent by God to live on mission to raise the awareness of Jesus. That is what the church is called to do. Jesus was super clear on this. Before he ascends back to the Father, he says to a group of followers, he says, hey, go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all things. And so it's pretty clear that we are sent by God to live on mission. And that's what I love about this idea of being sent, because it takes us out of the game of just going to church, but becoming the church. That we don't just show up, and some of you do, and that's great, and I'm glad you do, because it'd be really boring preaching to an empty room. I'm glad you're here. But it begins to take shape in us. We begin to understand that I am part of this movement. I'm part of what God is doing in this world. It's a powerful shift when a farmer begins to understand this, a mechanic, a professor at Western, a stay-home parent, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a student. When a group of people disguised as people like this in many other categories, we begin to realize there is movement happening and something's taking shape. You know what's interesting? The early church in Acts, like maybe a couple thousand years ago, got this. They understood what they were called to become and do. There's a great passage in the Bible. There's this guy named the Apostle Paul, and he was actually had this amazing transformation in his life with Jesus. And then what happens is that he begins to roam around and teach and preach. And for whatever reason, God used him in powerful ways to start these new expressions of faith, and they would eventually be called the church. And the early church is chaotic and confusing, and it's filled with tension and failures and everything. As ugly as it was in the early days of the early church, there was this beautiful thing that began to take shape. There was this beautiful thing that began to emerge that drew attention. Let me read for you the account that Luke makes about what is happening in one of Paul's missionary journeys. He says this, Acts 16, verse 5, he says, so the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. See, the churches understood how this was important in the expression of who they were becoming. There was a strengthening of the faith. See, in order for faith to be strengthened, it needs to be stretched. In order for faith to become robust, it needs to have pressure. See, faith was never designed to be convenient. Faith was always designed to be moving forward, even at times when you're unsure of where you're going, even at times when it takes complete trust to say, God, I don't know where you're taking us. I don't know what you're doing, but our faith needs to be strengthened. And I love the description of what's given to us is that these churches were strengthened in their faith. There was root systems that were growing down deep, and they became stronger and stronger and stronger. The other thing that emerges is that they grew larger every day. Now, this just blows my mind when I think about the early church, that it was expanding. It was adding. They were living in such a way that they were drawing attention to themselves. There was a way in which they lived where people from the outside looked in and said, there is something special about that community. There's something inclusive about it, because when you read about the early church, as difficult as it was at times, and there was filled with tension, barriers were being crossed. See, grace and mercy and forgiveness and truth was emerging out, and people were beginning to realize that this was an inclusive message of hope and grace that God was offering through his church. And people were being added to it. I love that idea of growing larger every day. It kind of helps me understand that the church wasn't going around going, we're getting too big. You know? Oh, we don't know everybody. I don't know everybody's name. Like, come on. No, this church was consumed with accepting and reaching and impacting in a way that was inclusive. And it says it grew every day. I referenced the Apostle Paul just a few minutes ago, and he wrote this letter to this church in Thessalonica. It's this great little letter that he writes, and he's trying to encourage them. And there's this verse that has been messing with me. I'll call it that. It's been wrecking me on the inside for now just over a year, probably about 16 months or so. And it says this. He writes to this church, and he says, and now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it. I love this verse because it speaks to the truth of the ringing out factor. See, it's so easy at times for a church to become so inward focused that the ringing out doesn't happen. That they become so inward focused that there's no sound coming out. I love this. Paul says to them, we can't go anywhere. Everywhere we go, people are telling us about you. Like, would you just stop already? You know, like it's happening here. But he says it's going beyond two locations, Macedonia and Achaia. You ready for this? Okay, so let me give you some context. He's actually talking about two locations. So what's the first one? I only have the Old Testament memorized. I don't have the New Testament memorized yet. I'm kidding. Macedonia is first. Oh, you guys are cheating. You're looking on the screen behind me. Macedonia. Macedonia is 200 kilometers away from Thessalonica. Achaia is 500 kilometers away. And they don't have the internet. Oh. They don't have Facebook Live. They don't have social media. They're living in a way that's impacting Macedonia and Achaia. And it's ringing out from them. I don't know about you, and maybe this doesn't mean much to you, but I got to tell you, if I received a letter from the Apostle Paul like this, it's like rocket fuel. I'd be like, look out, I'm taking over the world. Right? See, when the church is the church, when the church begins to function the way Jesus has called it to function, it becomes the hope of the world. And there's a sound that rings out from it that's attractive, and it draws attention. And people want to be part of it. Think about the beauty and the wonder of what Jesus has called his church to be in this world. When I think about what God has called us to do, I realize that our vision brings about life change. Hearts are healed, care is offered, hope is restored, eternities are realigned, chains of the past are broken, forgiveness is offered, needs are met, freedom to live the way God has called people to live. When the church becomes consumed with the vision to reach people for Jesus, great things happen. Now, you might be saying to me, okay, Ron, this is a good history lesson. Thanks so much. You know, like, how are you going to answer this question where we're going? Well, let me make a transition here and talk about what's been going on inside of me. I've had this stirring now for about 16 months. And the stirring is, let me back up. Our board, our overarching board that oversees our church and I'm accountable to, has given me for 16 months the freedom and flexibility to lean in on what is going on inside of me. You need to know that the past 16 months has been extremely difficult for me. Just ask my wife, I've been pretty tough to live with at times. The stirring inside of me began to wreck me, and I began to wonder what is going on. It's been tough because it's taken patience, and I don't do patience. Those of you who do patience, God bless you. It's like, where's the pedal? I just want to put it to the floor. I've spent time journaling. I've spent time seeking wisdom from others. I've spent time in silence. I've spent time in prayer. The reason why I spent so much time looking at this and examining this and praying about this is because what was stirring inside of me scared the you-know-what out of me. Early 2017, I was talking to a pastor friend, and I said, hey, like, this is what's going on in my life. And he goes, hey, Ron, have you ever considered doing the APEST assessment? I'm like, do you need cream for that? Like, what's that? Like, seriously? He said, no. It's this online assessment that's connected to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And I said, well, I only have the Old Testament memorized. What is Ephesians? No, I didn't say that. See, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 are very clearly verses that align with the church. There's five gifts that God gives to the church. The first one is apostolic. The second one is prophetic. The third one is evangelist, and then shepherd, and then teacher. God gives these five specific gifts to the church. And these, when they're functioning properly and they're equipping and training and moving forward, this is a powerful fivefold thing that God does with his church. And I had never thought through this before, and so I did the assessment. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit nervous about the assessment because what if it tells me something that I don't want to see? Well, I did the assessment, nervously did it, and the assessment came out as apostolic teacher, so A-T. You don't know how excited I was to see teacher on there. I mean, I do this for a living. It's like, it better be on there. It's like I've been if it's like the fifth one, like way down the list, I've been like torturing you for 3.5 years. It's like, oh man. Apostolic teacher. Okay, so teacher's here. Apostolic for me is here. And some of you are looking at me like, what the heck is apostolic? Let me read it for you. Don't go anywhere. Let me read it for you. An apostolic leader has a unique sense of being sent, prepared specifically for a purpose. In a leader, he or she has an internal sense of urgency for the future, an awareness of the needs of tomorrow. Apostolic leaders seek opportunity to engage causes of significance larger than themselves. The mindset of an apostolic is often translocal, larger and more encompassing than the immediate. I cried when I read that. Because the vision that's emerging inside of me, I realized that when I read this, that God said to me in this moment, I've prepared you, I've equipped you, and even in your weakness, and even in your failures, and even in your blunders, I'm still going to use you. I've tried to push this away, just being honest with you. I've tried to ignore it. I've tried to sweep it under the rug, but it won't let me go. In the middle of wrestling with this in the 16-month window, this is all stirring inside of me. I'm not talking to a whole lot of people about it. I was sitting out in our fake leather chairs out here in the atrium that the school provides. Isn't it great they provide that for us? One of our drivers that drives our trailer, his name's Bert, we were just chatting, and he said, "Hey, Ron, where are we going?" I'm like, "Doof." The question wrecked me, so I've got an answer. And this will be the first time I utter it publicly, so you need to know that this may not be a big deal for you, but it is for me. This is 16 months of wrestling this question down, where are we going? Here's where we're headed. You paid for the whole seat. You only need the edge. That's what, anyway, isn't that a commercial? It's Delaware Speedway, isn't it? I think that's what it is. You have no idea what goes on in my head when I'm up here. Okay. I don't know why I'm stalling. September 2019, Forest City North Church is going to be opening a second location. We will be a church with two locations, September 2019. You want to know where the second location is, don't you? If you don't, you're half asleep right now then. Our second location is going to be in Exeter. Yeah. Let me connect the dots for you. There's a number of things that have been happening behind the scenes that are just incredible. First of all, you need to know that there is a growing number of people that are coming from that region down here. They're making that, some of them over an hour drive. So if you complain about coming from the other side of the city, I got no sympathy for you. These guys come from, and some of them are drivers of our trailer too, so it's even crazier. They get up real super early and drive down here to be part of this. But here's the thing, as exciting as that is, that they're unable to fully live out the vision and values of our church in a way that helps them invest in their community. And one of our values is inviting people. One of our values is connecting with others in community. And so we're going to make that available to them in September 2019. 2017, January 2017, someone from our church, after a leadership event that I was leading, grabbed me by the shoulders in my office and said to me, "Ron," she has a prophetic voice. She said, "Ron," her name's Debbie. She said, "Ron, God is going to use our church beyond London." She had no clue that this stirring was happening inside of me. No clue. Last summer, someone just showed up in my office. It was just an unusual moment. His name is George. He showed up and he had an Exeter newspaper. And he gave it to me. I'm like, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "I don't know. I felt you needed an Exeter newspaper." He had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. My soccer club plays in Exeter. That last summer, I walked from the dressing room to the pitch, and God gave me eyes to see countless numbers of families and children that were playing baseball, and God laid on my heart the necessity for us to put this second location in Exeter. Last fall, a family in our church who own Martin Wellness, they're a chiropractor place, gave me a massage. I'm face down on the massage, and the therapist, I said to her, "Where are you from?" Guess where she was from? Lucan. No, I'm kidding. Exeter. I'm face down going, and I literally uttered it loud, "No way, God." So I asked her about her life. I asked her about her church experience, and she'd grown up going to church but gave up on it because it became irrelevant to her life and her friends and stuff. They live in Exeter but drive into London to work. I've spoken to local pastors in Exeter. I've spoken to denominational leaders that we're connected to. And the green light keeps coming on. It's amazing to me. Now, let me address a few things that are very, very important to the vision of who we are. We are not going to lose sight of the importance of what we're doing here. Matter of fact, next month in May, we're going to be unfolding some things that are directly related to our City Impact Team and our North Kids. You do not want to miss that. We're going to continue to put the throttle down to reach more people, to reach your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors in a way like never before because we have a message of hope and forgiveness. We're going to continue to keep our ear to the ground for a permanent location. We wrestled through this as a board of elders, and we realized that we need to continue to do that. But here's what you need to understand about the reality of this, is that we have continued to push on this door of a permanent location, but for whatever reason, that door is not opening for us right now. But as I pushed on this door continues to open up, and we just continue to walk through it. What I believe God is doing for us is that God is allowing us to walk through this door so that eventually we will know what this door looks like. See, this door here is defining more of who we are becoming so that this door might be pushed on eventually. What am I going to ask you to do? What am I going to ask you as a community to do? Well, the first thing is pray like crazy, like seriously. And I don't care if you're a praying person or not. I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray that God will continue to use us to make a difference in that region. I'm going to ask you to do something with your phones. We all love our phones. We've got them in our pockets, our purses, all the time, 24/7. They're with us. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to set your alarm for 9:25 a.m. every day. 9:25, okay? You can do that right now if you want to. I don't really care if you get on your phone, do it. 9:25 a.m., set it for every day. And what I want you to do is every day at 9:25 a.m., I don't care where you are, work, play, whatever, put on silent if you're at work. I don't want you to get fired. My pastor said I had to pray. Okay, stop laughing, all right? And just pray. Now, you might wonder what 9:25 is. There's a whole movement behind this. 9:25. 9 is September. 2 is our second sight. Do you know what 5 is? It's our 5th anniversary in September 2019. So 9:25, I want you to pray. Will you pray with me? This morning, I was in the middle of mic check for this morning. My phone went off, and everybody was looking at their phones. I said, that's mine. We need to stop to pray. We didn't do that, but I offered a prayer in my head, so that still counted, okay? Things are going to roll out in the fall that with great clarity. I know you have lots of questions, but that's okay. So do I. This fall, things will get clearer for us as we go public with our site leader, as we develop a team that moves forward. We're also this fall going to be rolling out what it looks like for us financially to get behind this vision and mission. We have a great future ahead of us. And for whatever reason, God is using us to advance his kingdom in this world by life change. We're not doing it just to have a second sight. We're doing it because there are people who need to hear the life-changing message of Jesus. When Peter was invited out of the boat to walk on water, I asked myself, why'd he do it? I mean, why did Peter get out of the boat? I mean, he could have just stayed there, right? He could have just stayed in the comfort and the familiarity and the convenience. He was a fisherman. It was a familiar place to him. He could have just stayed there. What caused him to get out? Was it belief in himself that got him out of the boat? No. Do you know what it was? He got out of the boat because Jesus believed in him. That's why he got out of the boat. And I believe that God is leading us down this path of starting this second site, the second location, one church with two locations. And I believe that God is leading us down this path, and he's asking us to get out of the boat. Will you take steps of obedience? Will you take steps of faith? Because as you do, what will happen is your faith will be strengthened, and because of that, we will see God continue to add to his church. We have a great vision that God has given to us. May we be a people who follow his lead. Thanks, Lord. All right. We pray that God, by his Spirit, will continue to lead us. And if something inside of you is stirring and nudging a little bit, and there's something intriguing about this for you, please feel free to connect with me, message me. But my hope and prayer is that for the next number of months, you will pray with me at 9:25 a.m. every single day. It can't be Vision Sunday with new glasses looking forward without ice cream sundaes. Hello. Like, come on, right? Come on. After the service, please go out. We've got so much ice cream. And we don't want to take it home, do we? We don't want to take it home. Well, maybe I do. Maybe you don't, but I will. Please help yourself to the ice cream sundaes. Enjoy that. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you for being patient as we had this conversation around the table. Please remember, you can get your mug. If there's none left, just wrestle it off of Paige. You can take it. Let me say a prayer. God, thank you so much for this morning. And I just come before you with surrendered heart, surrendered mind, strength. Father, you're calling us to a greater picture, a greater vision. I know, Father, that we live in a time and an era when people are searching for a foundation to build their lives on, that people are looking for an anchor to hold on to. Our culture and our society and the world which we live in, there's so many amazing things, but yet there's a piece of it that we just go, is there something out there that I can hang on to, that I can build my life around? Father, I thank you for the message that you've given us as a church. May you continue to lead us. May we continue to walk in step with you. We thank you for what you're doing in and through us, and may you be glorified in all of this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next week. Thanks for being here.